Good morning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just now started. Good morning. It is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners Thursday Administration Workshop. Today is Thursday, June the 30th, 2016. It is 9 a.m. Welcome to the meeting. We don't have Commissioner Hare this morning, and we do have Commissioner Heck this morning and myself. So first up is Friends of the Oregon Caves, and who is bringing this forward?
The okay. Miss Oregon Caves.
Come on.
Here.
I thought maybe we had Arthur in here too, but.
No.
Okay.
What's this? What do I do?
Please state your name for the record.
I'm Sue Densmore, and I'm the Executive Director of the Friends of the Oregon Caves in Chantel.
Okay. And we have, it's called Approval of the 2016 Oregon Federal Lands Access Program. Mm-hmm. I understand this is a grant that you're getting, correct? Or a project that's, yeah.
I'll make it really quick. Let's see how do I describe this. The Federal Lands Access Program funds projects that give improved access to federal lands. And, of course, in Josephine County, you have the Oregon Caves National Monument and Preserve. And so what this grant would do, it's a planning grant only. So you would all be involved in the discussions, and we would look at the needs. The interest is in developing a 16-acre property that is on Highway 46. It would be developed into a visitor site, which would offer RV parking, an electric charging station. We would potentially get electric buses that would take visitors up to the Oregon Caves to reduce the automobile traffic on that road, as well as offer secure RV parking down in Cape Junction. Eventually, we will have restrooms. We'll have probably a visitor center there, information, and we may actually offer other tours into the valley. So it also hopefully will be economic development for the region. And kind of bringing the Oregon Caves down into Cave Junction is part of the added part of the approach. But this particular grant will improve the 16-acre site that's owned by ODOT, be a partnership between the Friends and ODOT. At this point, it's an unused piece of property that was donated to ODOT in 1991. They have no idea what to do with it, so they came to us and said, could we work this out? And the Federal Lands Access Program would create the utilities in the long run, improve the site and buy the buses and help us figure out how to offer the transit service. Mm-hmm. So it's just a planning grant, $200,000 matched by the Friends of the Oregon Caves and Chateau, and we're in partnership with ODOT on this. Mm-hmm. So on Highway 46, heading up 3 miles up the road on the right. You might have seen it, it's got a historic barn that's kind of falling over. That's the piece of property. Mm-hmm. And the family that donated the property to ODOT was interested in having it be a wayside. It's a longtime family of the Smith family. They own the adjacent ranch. And their interest was in to offer some visitor amenities as they're going up to the Oregon Caves.
And so they're in compliance with what you want to do with that?
Hmm?
Do they know what the plan is?
Oh, yeah.
They support that whole plan?
They're 100% supportive. And they're thrilled that there's a solution finally, because they offered the property in 1991 that's been sitting without any attendance, and ODOT was looking for a solution, too.
It just took a little while.
It did. It took a little while.
Yeah.
Okay. So. All right. Do we have the original? When do you need this?
I have an opportunity to have a signature. It is unfortunately due tomorrow. We found out we needed county approval. We thought we were fine with state and federal, so we do need a signature, if possible, if I could do it today, if there's any chance of doing that. Pass it over to you.
All I need is a motion to approve it and authorization for the chair to sign it.
Authorize the chair to be the signature for the county.
I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And I have a copy for you.
We need original. So does she need an original?
I can get you back a fully signed original, because it'll have the state of Oregon. I've got to get that signature.
Do you want me to make another copy, or do you need two?
Yes, I'll have you make, or else I can just get you back the full. How do you want to do that?
I've got. Let me make one more original, then we'll have to.
Okay, this has got Vicki's signature on it, and still leaving.
And then we'll sign them both.
Oh, I'll hear. No, I see what you mean. I've got one here. I'm sorry. There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
final thing. The last page. There you go.
Oh, here it is. Josephine County. Do you want me to print my name on here as well?
It has to be an original signature, so I didn't know who was going to be signing it, so I didn't so you can fill in everything. Yeah, I didn't put the date, so I didn't type anything in.
In other words, no faxes or
e-signatures. No, it has to be the real thing. It's got to be right in front of you, which is good. Good.
And then we keep this one. Or you get them both signed?
I've got to get all the signatures, and I'll give you back both fully signed. You know, I'll give you two copies because I have to still get Jerry Marmon today. So he'll sign both, and then you'll get an original back.
So bring
back. I'm going to take off and have it finished.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Good to see you, Sue. All right.
Okay, good to see you, Sue. Yeah, I understood that they had didn't realize they had to have county signature because the county's not involved in it. It was private party, federal.
I
know. Like, why?
Yeah, I know. County lands somewhere probably.
Yeah, not
people
even.
People who don't know some county lands, so it's reasonable.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I read it earlier this week. She hadn't put the finishing touches on it yet. It looks like a pretty good proposal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. While they're getting that done, well, she's not here to take notes, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to hurry.
Somewhere you can lay computer to get caught up from the other day.
Oh, was that right?
I thought it was. And it was.
Oh, yeah.
I had no notes in it.
Yeah. I had trouble getting online this morning, too. So I'll have to reset it a couple times. I expect.
Yeah. I'm hoping that it is downloading. So.
Ding, 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 ding. Here's a redlined version. This is draft 4, and the revenue thing is 8.03, section 8.03 is here, so there you go. For your,
oh, thank you.
Your edification. We'll get to that as item 2D. I do have one for Terry. And
okay, I see one thing that I need.
Okay.
Don't forget your purse, Sue.
I know. Okay.
All right. First item, 2A, City of Cave Junction Contract Deputy Agreement.
Yes. So this is the annual agreement, and it's been approved by the city, signed by the city, and created through our office, sheriff's office. Technically, this would have been the sheriff's office issue to present, but in order to keep the situation moving, I just decided to put it on legal and bring it to you today. So it's very possible that the sheriff will, if you decide has to present, he'd be the person who would present on Wednesday. If you want somebody to come in and discuss the contract, then he's the one who would do so.
Is the amount the same?
It is. What's kind of unique about this one, actually we did this last year also, and it seems to be working out all around, is that it's a 40-hour per week agreement, and he can put out as many or as few deputies during that 40 hours as he so chooses. And that was important to the sheriff, not that I'm a sheriff's spokesman, but my understanding is he wanted that in there because he wants a backup to be available in that rural area. Mm-hmm. And so this contract is for the city and also the immediately surrounding area of the city. So I think the sheriff wanted to have that discretion to have two deputies there 20 hours a week if that's what he deems to be the most appropriate assignment. So anyway, the contract does include that.
Does it entail any coordinating with the city who is paying for this?
Yes. Yes, it does.
If he's going to have two, then only 20 hours a week,
yeah,
which would be 40. But is that coordination, is that stipulated in somehow the city?
Well, in paragraph 5, the sheriff agrees to coordinate and confer with the city regarding patrol
right.
needs.
And I would soon get my...
when you get your computer, you'll see it.
Sure.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know that's been a bone of contention. And then you say, okay, well, we're going to have two cops down here now. Well, they're only going to be here 20 hours a week.
Right.
Okay, I can see that good. Up to the road, so.
Yes, it says they'll meet monthly or whenever possible to attend each monthly council meeting.
Yeah, so it'll be talking about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. And this isn't ready to go forward yet. You were just informing us, or you want this to go forward now?
You can sign it now if you want, but it's perfectly appropriate to go forward in business session, too, depending on your discretion. If you want to talk to the sheriff about it, then...
No. I've talked to him about it times. A lot of times on this.
Okay.
All right, we'll move that forward, and we can just put it on the consent calendar because it's a renewal. Okay, and item B, amendment number 2 to the intergovernmental county lease agreement for the sheriff's office substation.
This is part and parcel with the last issue. This is, I believe, unchanged, I think thoroughly unchanged from last year as well, just in terms of the amount and the space that the lease agreement involves.
Yeah.
And it's been signed by the city. So we have our originals.
Well, now that yours is here, mine's acting stubborn.
Yes.
Did it? Okay. This is, Keith, this is the one on the amendment number 2.
Mm-hmm.
This substation. And by amendment number 2, it's just that the contract is in place and we're just renewing...
That's how we're adjusting the lease, is through an amendment.
Through amendment, yes. Okay. We can just move that to consent, is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay. C, Community Development Department, Building Official.
Yes, okay. Ma'am.
Sure. Would you like to have a seat?
Yeah, please. All right, so...
Please state your name for the record.
Mark Stevenson.
Thank you.
Yes, current employee, of course, of the county. And so talking to the State Building Maintenance Division, Mark is fully certified, uniquely certified, to my knowledge, within the county government, to be the building official, which is a statutorily defined role and also defined within the Josephine County code. And anyway, so he's fully certified, and he comes very highly recommended by Robert Rice, who whose last day was yesterday, I believe.
Today.
Okay.
Sorry.
We're not doing this a moment too soon, are we?
No. No time like the present. So what I'd recommend is that we, in terms of the procedure, I mean, if the board should, you can talk to Mark and gauge you're interested in appointing him, but if it's your desire to appoint him to be the interim, if you will, to be the building safety director for the county, then I would recommend that you ultimately move to appoint him as the building safety division director for the county for a period of 90 days without personnel action authority, hiring and firing authority, and for the period of 90 days or until a permanent person is found to fill the post. So this is exactly as compared to James Black.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? So this should be fairly recent memory in terms of James Black. And then you basically... He'll head on down to HR, and they'll discuss the compensation package with JJ, and he'll run a PA form to the board for ultimate approval on that point.
Okay.
But for my purposes at legal, he'll be, if you designate him as the department head, he will be the building official for the county, and the world moves on.
Beginning tomorrow?
Seamlessly.
You have the contract to begin?
This can be done simply by motion and vote of the board.
Okay.
So... But he is going to use PA form, so JJ is going to run that.
Yeah, that's going to JJ to do that.
Yes.
Okay.
On his timeline.
Well, since time is of the essence, I think we need to do this today, and so I will entertain a motion.
Well, make the motion that Mark Stevenson be appointed as the
interim
building director, building official.
Perhaps
building whatever you want.
Yeah, but it's building safety.
Building safety director.
Okay. Building safety.
I would recommend if you could perhaps move that he be appointed as the building safety director for a period of 90 days or until
such time. I was going to say that. Let's put an interim or for a period of 90 days or
unless one sooner hired.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
That gives us an immense amount of latitude.
Is it good old ass?
Period of 90 days or
until another individual.
Okay.
Or until the appointment is filled.
Yeah, until the position is filled is probably better.
And because theoretically, you could be filling their position, theoretically.
Yeah. Okay. Second. All favor.
Aye.
Okay. Oh, thank you. As of tomorrow morning,
you're any discussion on that?
Thank you.
Did you have any discussion on that ramrod decision?
Start discussing. You can't change the motion.
Motion rendered. Will the director, community development director, come on up here so I can ask a question? You two are basically going to be working in the same office, or is there realignment, or is there real alignment of job, or what? How does that work? Because I'm sure the board doesn't want you to get caught in the middle of something to where you're not quite sure which door you're supposed to go into now and that kind of thing. So has that been settled as far as the two adjoining departments are concerned?
No, as a matter of fact, there was no decision yet to make a community development department, is my understanding.
No.
So there's no such department yet. I was told that I was inheriting building safety, but there's been no discussion how that will be lined up or created or whether there's going to be divisions. You just put in Mark as director, so I take it the merge doesn't happen until we fill it. Or so we have the 90 days or until filled, I think, to work things out.
Yeah,
how it's going to work.
Is that a community development director being over planning, public works, parks, and building safety?
Possibly.
No.
We don't know.
Oh, okay. No. Well, then you said
throw in.
It sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah. Legal in it, too. We don't know. That was my concern. I didn't want you to get caught in the middle of something.
Mm-hmm.
Here to where you're saying, oh man, what's happening? The same thing as far as you're really concerned about. What's, are we assuming certain things are taking place and they haven't even been talked about yet? That kind of a thing. So I don't want to make sure that the lines of communication and the lines of responsibility are clearly defined in this interim period of time until a final action is taken.
Yeah, and there have been no discussions on that yet.
Okay, are you comfortable with this process?
It's a little difficult because I don't know what's going on. that's why I'm at the meeting today to find out more information about it. Well, but there's a lot that has to be worked out, I think, and Mark and I will have to sit down and talk and see what we think can work out, because I haven't even met his staff yet. So.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
But he's got a 90-day window to resolve all those questions.
We kind of put it on the...
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And Julie, you're comfortable? We're right today?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
I'm actually relieved to know I don't have that department yet.
We're going to get three more of the dollar.
We have one more loose end. Pat is mine, so yes. All right, so there is a contract that is going to come up for board consideration next week, I think. Hopefully, after we get it signed back from WBE.
Yeah, it could be a couple of weeks.
But anyway, it is a significant contract, I think $210,000 between the building department. Significant $75,000. Between the building department, right, and
The building department LLC.
Oh, correct.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Which coincidentally is where Robert Rice is going.
This is a third party inspection service.
Yes.
And so we were wondering, would the board, if the board wants to keep basically everything just the same as it is in this day and age, is it going to be the building safety department that is the contract administrator for that one?
The board has had the discussion of putting building safety with planning, but the decision's not made, and I don't want to have any further discussions until we have all the board here. I don't think any of us needs to make any discussion about any department changes without all of us being here. So I'm gone next week. See, Simon's been gone 2 weeks. I'm gone next week, so it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks out.
Okay.
But when is that contract due?
It's overdue.
Oh, it's overdue.
Well, we were going to start it as of July 1st, but we just need to know who would the contract administrator be, which would be the person responsible for services.
Right.
And so normally we would have...
Well, I think that would be the building official.
Yes.
Just make it building official, not department, but person.
Okay.
So
building official.
Person.
Yeah. And that way, whoever our building official is going forward, whether it is our present director.
I'm already in contact with them every day.
Yeah.
So. Good.
Yeah. So just make it building official, because that would be the person who would be reviewing documents.
Overseas services.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. That was very helpful to us to keep that moving.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you both.
Very much.
For your flexibility, please.
Okay. Item D is the timeline for the November election on the marijuana tax ordinance.
It is. So I have, in addition to that, I have also distributed a redline version. This is now draft 4. I've redlined the differences between draft 3 and draft 4. They're minor. I basically added the unincorporated areas of Josephine County to clarify where this would apply, and then also Commissioner Walker's request added section 8.03, which describes where the revenue would go. So this is continuing as an ongoing process of drafting. Like, if the board wants further changes, then we'll do it.
Okay, now my question is on 8.03. You put a comma after public health.
Okay.
So that would mean anything in public health, and then education and treatment. I didn't intend for a comma to be there.
Oh.
Public health, education, and treatment.
Got it.
Right. Because we don't want it put into other public health services. So if you have a comma there, it could go into any other public health, in my view. Because of delineating public health as a separate... Here's our English experts. Is that right?
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. And the revenue, do we have any idea what the anticipated revenue from this is to be?
Almost not much, because we only have about 5 or 6 retail outlets. And all of those are affiliated with a medical facility. And I don't know if the state is going to require them to split those out or not. I don't know if they're going to do that. And if they require them to split them out, some may not split it. And they close it.
Well, you know,
a lot of revenue,
yeah,
but
or close the other.
Mm-hmm. They have more stringent requirements, I think, for the recreational.
Yeah.
Service.
So who knows?
Yes,
basically. Who's doing monitoring anything on the medical side?
Pardon?
Who knows? Who's monitoring anything on the medical side?
Yeah. So anyway, just that comma is the only one.
Okay.
That I
know. And this will be discussed, I'm sure. And Heather, I mean, if we're making an ordinance having to do with the future spending on monies coming in through this 3%, hypothesizing in a year and a half, now we're going to get in $1.4 million off this ordinance. We'd have to either redo the ordinance, or if we wanted to, or else we would have to... amend something or just go with what this is. I mean, the limiting of 8.03 is simply for public health education and treatment. Okay, I don't have any problem with that. I mean, the idea of that. But if that amount of money does blossom, pardon the pun, is that where all this money is to go, or should some go to law enforcement or go to, you know, the criminal justice system or something?
When you take public health education, without the comma, when you take public health education and treatment related to marijuana and marijuana products, that could be public health education and treatment in the jail, in the schools, seminars, in the public health department. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be, it's when you take that out, public health education related to that issue. The reason we need to have this in here is everybody I've talked to, they said, if you don't have that in there, I'm not supporting it, because I want to know where that money is going.
Oh, sure. I don't have any problem with that.
So that's why making it broad as far as public health education, mm-hmm. you know, the whole thing, you can use the public health education in any manner as far as jail, even organizations such as Options and Kairos or whoever is treating those kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. So... Those grants through public health can be made anywhere. because public health, I'm not defining public health department. It's not public health department. It's public health education and treatment. So it could be used for any number of...
Well, I'm assuming that
project.
The potentiality of neither one of us being here in a year, that we wouldn't have to worry about the ramifications. If they want to write a new ordinance, that would be it to them.
Yeah. But anyway, that was why it's in there, and that's why it's broad.
Yeah. And that's my only concern, because I think there has to be some, the potentiality of this amounting to a substantial sum of money. And right now, we don't have any idea, and most likely not amount, because we don't have the dispensaries or the that earn those money too. So I can certainly live with this as it is.
Okay. And we need to have this to the clerk like almost yesterday.
Not quite. So that's our next. But if you're ready to talk about the timeline, then we can get into the particulars of that. And there are going to be many more opportunities to discuss this matter as it turns out.
Good.
And so. We sent out the timeline, I believe, in your packet. Not that that's doing you any good at the moment, I gather.
Well,
so
I'm up and wired now.
Okay. So once everybody's is all ready to look at that, then we can.
So August 3rd, okay, last week. Well, major second reading is on August 10th. Okay.
Right.
First reading July 27th. Well, we're getting close to it now.
Well, we are.
Send notice to the Courier on July 11th. We've got a week and a half.
If you wish to do this.
Right.
If you wish to, send the notice to the Courier.
From my perspective, I'm supportive of employing this up to 3% tax.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the disposition of it is something else, but I'm fully supportive of the 3% tax for the benefit of the county of some way, get some funds out of this one.
I'm not going to be here next week, so I know in our discussions with Simon here, he seemed supportive. I don't think he had any particular objection when he was here, and because he was, he said at the time that he understood that this is the time to do it. So,
okay.
If you wouldn't mind, we could go ahead and have them authorize them to go ahead and get this all scheduled.
Okay, we can. Now, sending notes to the Courier in this case is not required, as reflected here. It's optional, and so that's at your discretion. That's one of
the
things we're looking for.
July the 15th, publication of the first reading.
If you want it published.
Yeah.
Not required. It's on the land use.
Everything in this category of operations needs to have red flags and rockets attached to it so that everybody knows.
That's why we put it on there.
There has to be that way, otherwise that's the last thing we need.
We'll do it. Yeah. We'll do it. Okay.
So do we need a motion today?
Well, that'd be good. Well, not a motion regarding publication to the Courier would be all that we would be hoping for.
Well, just to follow the timeline, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Okay, follow the timeline.
That's
the Courier. Follow the timeline.
Because we have these hearings.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's going to be plenty of discussion. So this is just a motion to go ahead and
follow this timeline.
Follow the timeline.
We go ahead and follow the Josephine County Marijuana Tax Ordinance timeline submitted by legal counsel. That was submitted to us today.
I second the motion. All in favor?
Aye. No discussion. It's going to be dictatorial.
We've just been discussing. Any discussion, Mr. Keith?
No, that's fine.
Okay, just make that one change, comma.
You'll do.
Because that changes the meaning.
It does.
Very definitely, because that comma is limiting, and I don't want it to be limiting. I want it to be able, like we said, use it in the jail or whatever mental or okay, we'll move that forward.
All right.
We're not moving it here. They're getting it ready, and it'll come back to us. And then we move forward the agenda. That's moving forward.
Yes, thanks. Yeah, we got what we needed.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hey, we have quarterly updates. The Sheriff's Department. Do we have a Sheriff's Department? Yes, we do.
I was going to say, you're getting a little hangar here.
Disposal of property.
Yeah. So, this is a wobble, but they don't fall down. This is another list of property I'm looking to dispose of, whether it be by the dumpster, recycle, or auction. I'm trying to keep the amount of stuff I bring to you in bite size so I can handle it, mm-hmm. Because we have a great deal of backlog. So now that we've got the signature on the propertyroom.com, with this stuff and the last list, I'll be able to move forward with getting some stuff to propertyroom.com. But first, once I figure out what we're selling, this we're selling, we have to advertise in the paper twice.
So you are really in the first step phase of interfacing with propertyroom.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even have any barcodes yet.
Okay.
So.
Well, at least it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah. I'm purging stuff and getting rid of stuff but keeping it in bite-sized pieces so that I can manage it.
Well, I'm
looking at these items on here. It's, you know, everything from shoes to gold coins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have that. I don't have a kitchen sink, though.
You don't have a kitchen sink?
I have a kitchen faucet, but I don't have a kitchen sink.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yes. All right. I think we can move this forward. No problem.
So I'm looking at coming to you fairly regularly with a bite-sized piece mm-hmm. like this, so I can just keep things moving.
Yeah.
Well, since we already approved the disposition, we can just put this on consent.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Does that fly legally? I have no problem.
Can't we do that since we already approved for the disposal of properties?
I can be there next week. I put it on my calendar already.
It's a report and recommendation.
I was going to say, though, it might be good to accomplish both,
okay,
but also to have you there to speak about what's there, what's going to happen, how this is working, the
okay,
steps
sure.
of progress are being taken, that kind of stuff. I think it would be good to have you there.
Yeah, let's just put it on the admin and let you see.
I'll be there.
Okay. I won't be, but he will be chairing.
Okay.
Are we down?
Yes.
Okay. Friday afternoon. Is there in time in there?
Friday afternoon, I'm going to be working on my motorhome.
Okay. We'll be there with it.
Mm. Right.
We will come up with something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Got it on the admin for Wednesday, and we'll see you then.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Forestry.
Back again.
Hey.
Looking for signatures on a temporary easement to access one of the timber sales that were sold this spring. This one was intended to be here with the others, but got lost in the mail, so we had to go through the process of redoing it and getting it back out to the folks to sign it. So apologize for this not being with the other group, but this kind of solidifies all the access up for the sales that we sold this last spring.
Okay.
And when you say lost in the mail, that's just you euphemistically speaking, or is that what you're saying really happened?
They claim they put it in the self-addressed stamped envelope that we provided, and who knows where it went.
Okay.
It's still out there.
Yeah, that doesn't cause.
It'll probably show up immediately after we execute this one. That's my guess, but nonetheless, I didn't want to wait around much longer because they had indicated they'd sent it a while ago. So my assumption was it was in the great abyss of the Postal Service. So I moved forward another.
The machine ate it.
Machine ate it. Dog ate the homework.
Dog ate the homework.
That doesn't cause any difficulties, does it, or any problems?
No.
Okay.
And the other one would have just been signed by the grantors. It wouldn't have been executed mm-hmm. on our part, so it will be just destroyed if it's ever located.
Okay. We'll move us forward. Admin.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheryl will talk to us.
Will you talk to that, Keith?
Well, yeah, because it's just a oopsie and nothing is... Well,
it's not even really an oopsie, it's just...
Yeah, whatever. And I would be happy to. I'm assuming that the liaison to forestry would be more than happy to speak about all the progress that has been made and all those things.
Okay. If you need me there, let me know.
No,
okay. Thank you.
HR, Human Resources, Section 125, Insurance Change. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners.
So, after all of our excitement yesterday, I presume that everything is straightened out in your office this morning?
Oh, yeah. We're cool.
You found your phone, right?
Yes, thank you.
All right, so the first thing I have is a request to change our Section 125 insurance. So currently we have health saving account vendors. We have two of them, and we also have a third vendor for our flexible spending accounts. And what I'd like to do is get rid of all of those and just have one company do it. And the reason I'd like to do that is a number of reasons. One, the current vendors, the health savings account doesn't cost the county any money, but it does cost the employees money. They charge a fee every month for usage of an HSA account. It's $3 to $4 depending on which company they use with. And then the flexible spending account costs the county about $200 to $250 a month for those services. The company that I'd like to go to doesn't charge for those services. So they offer those at no cost. And the reason they do that is they also offer some supplemental insurance, and that's actually where they make their money, is through their supplemental insurance. It's similar to what we already have with our Aflac plan. I'm not recommending getting rid of Aflac. If people like Aflac, they can keep it. But they also can go with this other company if they want to. This company works in close conjunction with OEB in doing, every 3 years, OEB requires that all participants within OEB show that they have all of their dependents. They verify whether they are legitimately spouses or children or whatever. And this company will do that service for us.
Wait a
minute. For free.
How do they verify whether they're legitimate spouses or children? In this
you case? Have to show your marriage license. You have to show...
Well, that's discriminatory.
It's not. It's a...
I can't imagine. If somebody would contest that, I just can't imagine that flying.
It absolutely flies. 100%.
Cool.
I know when you have...
It does, because if you don't prove it, they don't insure you. I had that situation with
some kids. Some companies do it sporadically every so many years. A lot of cities and counties use CIS for their actual health care provider, and they don't do one on a triannual basis. They do it whenever you sign up. So if you sign up for insurance, within 3 months of you signing up, you have to show me your marriage license to show that, hey, I'm covering my spouse, and my spouse actually is my spouse. I can prove it. Or if it's a domestic partner, you have to sign an affidavit of a domestic partnership. What's nice about using this company is a lot of people don't like to have to send personal documents into somewhere, fax it in or whatever. They'll come out and do a verification on the site. They'll schedule multiple meetings to come out to make it easy for the employees. And the reason why OEB does this is it reduces costs, because some people may be covering people that it's not appropriate to be covering, that are not permissible to be covered via our administrative rules. And if you hold people accountable to, well, are they really your children, are they really your spouse? And if they're not, then you don't have to cover them. It reduces your cost. So
I feel like they're my children.
Well, sometimes you feel like they may not be, but...
Can you drop them in the case?
Yeah. So,
who are all these people I'm feeding?
Yes. But ultimately, that's a process that we're going to be doing next year, actually the end of this year. It's just an OEB requirement. You have to do it once every 3 years. And this company will do most of that work for us. It makes it much easier. So it's, I think, from the perspective, it's going to save the county about $2,500. It's going to save any employee with an HSA about $50 a year.
Does this company does, in other words, this company is wonderful, magnificent, all this kind of stuff, and they don't charge it a dime, because they're going to go bankrupt in 3 weeks.
Well, the way they get their money isn't through charging for FSAs and HSAs. They get their money by offering supplemental insurance. The other thing, if you watch any football game, you'll see advertisements for Aflac. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year on advertisements, all these companies. This company doesn't do that. Instead of spending money on advertisements, they give some services for free, and then they make their money on supplemental insurance.
And they have a track record?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more than
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they're a national company with great records. They work very closely with OEB to do the independent verification. So that's actually how I came to know the company, is OEB sent us a notification out saying, this is something that's required to be done, the independent verification of dependents, and this is a company that we do not require, but we recommend you use because it will make the process easier. And, you know, they contacted us, of course, and they're like, hey, you know, OEB said that we're a possible company for this. We also offer this in case you're interested. And looking at it, to me, it was a good opportunity to save the county some money, save the employees some money. We had a benefits meeting with all of the bargaining units and some non-union representation to let them know, hey, this is something we're considering. What do you think? Because we wanted to get buy-in from the different bargaining units before we changed anything. And they were all in agreement that, hey, why wouldn't we do it? It's going to save us money. It's the same quality of service. It's a national reputable company, so it's not Bob's brand insurance.
I was going to say, this is when you realize what an absolute jaundiced attitude you have toward this kind of stuff. You got better benefits, saving money, county saving money. Okay, what's the catch? You know, what's the catch? I mean,
and ultimately they, you know, I asked that same question. So why are you going to be this great? Why?
Yeah.
Well, like our current HSA provider. All they do is provide HSA. That's all they do. So, of course, they're going to charge for it, because that's all they provide. Our FSA provider, we use ChargeSigner. Well, that's the only service we're getting from them. So, of course, they're going to charge. They're not going to get it for free. This company, they're willing to give us this for free because they offer supplemental insurance. They offer the equivalent of AFLAC and long-term disability insurance and life insurance. So, They were up front and said, hey, we make our money on our supplemental insurance, and instead of spending money on advertising, we offer other services for free, and that helped us get in with, and they primarily work with school districts and local government. So
my only concern is they do have a track record that goes back more than 6 months.
Yeah.
They've been around a while, and they're rated AAA by the XYZ Insurance Corporation and all the other kind of stuff.
Well, and that's why OEB has chosen to contract with them. I mean, OEB has 150,000 members that they cover. They've elected to go with this company to partner with because they're a reputable company.
But like you said, if someone wants to stay with the AFLAC...
If they want to keep their AFLAC, they absolutely can. I will be discontinuing ChargeSigner for the FSA and the two different HSA providers. Mm-hmm. We'll do it during open enrollment so that there's a clean break. When you change insurance, you'll also change your Section 125 plans. Because I don't want to have 16 different vendors. The other thing that's nice about going with this is you have one vendor for a number of different things.
Right.
And it should help the employees. They're actually willing to come out during open enrollment and act as a resource for the employees saying, you know, what is your particulars for your healthcare needs? Based upon that, here are your options. Here's a cost analysis for what the best plan would be. A lot of people, they don't know what to pick, and it's tricky. We have a bunch of different plans. Sometimes they pick the most expensive, thinking, well, if it's the most expensive, it's the best. But if you don't have a lot of healthcare needs, the most expensive is a huge waste of money for you. So, you know, there's a number of different options, and it's nice having an on-site resource to walk people through some of that. And they're willing to come out and help people with that. So I thought, hey, it's a great opportunity to save the county money, save the employees money. They, you know, offer similar insurance supplemental that we have. They also offer a line of insurance that we don't currently provide. So to me, it's a good opportunity to provide better services at a lower cost.
Good.
Okay.
So
this is on the basis of the recommendations of our HR guy.
Right? Pardon?
This is on the basis of the recommendations of HR.
Okay.
J.J. Schofield by name.
Yeah. So shall we move this forward, sir?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, we can move this forward to the admin. And you come over to speak to this?
Sure.
Yeah.
We don't speak HR.
Yeah. Nobody wants to speak HR. It's awful.
Nobody but JJ, right?
Yeah. If
well,
I like,
and yeah, the thing is, too, to be able to say that this is a certified improvement, in a sense, if nothing other than taking three hats and putting them on one head. I mean, that's the best thing to take. We're just got one hat on one head now. I've got three.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and also the cost savings to the county and the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to save us $25,000. It's going to save us $3. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's going to save money. It's going to simplify the system for those using it. It's the biggest benefit
it has. It's not a huge cost. That's going to save the county $2,500. It will save the employees who happen to be enrolled in Plan H, the HSA plan, will save them about $3 to $4 a month, which is, you know, $45 a year. That's pretty good.
Okay.
All right, the next thing I have
is
a request from Community Corrections. Unfortunately, Nate was unavailable today, so I told him that I'd be happy to talk to him about this. They have a program, probation program supervisor position, that is currently a tiered position based upon their certifications. So it's this level pay for this certification, this level pay for the next certification. In looking at pretty much every other county, they do that for the parole probation officers, but nobody does it for the supervisors. And there's an advantage to doing it, but it does put you at a strategic disadvantage for recruitment if you're going to have to recruit for a supervisor position. And they found that to be the case during the last recruitment. Luckily they had an internal candidate who was terrific, and he was awarded the position, and he's done a wonderful job. But the outside candidates weren't awesome. And so he thinks that it would be a much better strategic decision to just put it at one pay scale. That's what every other county does. If you're a supervisor, this is what you make. All of our comparable counties do it. We were the only one that had a tiered position for the supervisor. So he'd like to put it to just a set salary scale.
And the other reality aspect of this is that several of those whom this particular position holder is supervising make more money than he does as a supervisor.
Yeah.
And that causes not necessarily difficulties, but it just causes a.
Well, to be honest, I don't really have an issue if I'm on step one and my subordinate is at step nine and they make more money than me.
Well, no, that's
but
true.
When I'm at step eight and they're at step nine and they make more money than me, that's an issue.
Yeah.
And that's.
Unless you're an elected official.
That's okay then.
That's okay.
As he said, he's speaking.
It's not going to be long before everybody's going to make more than the commissioners. Contrary to what public belief. Okay, very good.
Yeah,
we can. Yeah, you think we should move this forward, Commissioner Hare?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Because I'm actually Heck. Here's on the
What did I say, Hare?
You said Heck.
I'm in Heck.
I know you did. That's what you answered. Yes.
You know, you guys made it hard on me. You needed to change your name. Jeez, Smith or Jones or something. Okay, we move this one forward.
All right.
We will put it on the admin, and you will be there anyway, right?
All right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Public Works. This is the report and recommendation for the approval of temporary closure of Old Stage Road and East River Street during the parade on September 5th. And which parade is this?
Let's see, what was the name of that parade?
On September 5th.
Lions Club Parade.
The Lions Club Parade, okay.
This is an annual parade that... up until recently, we issued the closures, and now we're following the statutes and asking the commissioners as the road authority to close the roads. It's a longer than a 20-minute duration, so we're here. It's a local, both local roads. They've been doing it for years. There's never been any issues out there.
Okay, so help me understand, what did we went through this last time with closing off the road up in Merlin.
Right.
So that kind of stuff. The intent of what was passed might have been good, but these are those kind of things that don't need to come to the board per se. So why is this one coming back to the board?
Well, they all have to come to the board until we come up with a board order that gives authority to close a road for a duration to, you know, the director or the county engineer or somebody. So until we actually go through that process, you, as the board, is the road authority and the only authority.
Do you have a timeline on where you're going to make proposal?
Right now, we're still trying to work through the summer rush of construction projects, so it'll be this fall.
It'll be in the fall?
Okay.
Good.
So don't say it. Yeah, because the intent is good, but yet on the other hand, this is a practicality that just goes, come on.
Yeah. We understand that.
Yeah, just make it as easy as you can.
Yeah. Okay. My preference would be today that we make a motion and approve it and just go ahead with it. It's not gonna, I mean, this is a parade that takes place every year.
Yeah.
There's no controversy or discussion that needs to be. I mean,
Well, the Grants Pass Lions Club might want a chance to roar at the Edmund meeting.
I don't know. Do they plan to be there?
No.
Okay, so they were roaring last week.
Yeah, they did.
They were roaring. So
I remember Lafayette. Does he live here in Jackson County? Sure. Lafayette.
He's here.
I thought he was. Mm-hmm. So you might like the opportunity to come.
Well, this is the Illinois Valley Lions Club.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I mean.
Two parts for them to drive.
So would you like to make a motion to approve it?
Well, sure. I'll make a motion. I move we approve this request to recommendation board order number 2016 to be decided on the Public Works request to close Old Stage Road and East River Street in Cape Junction for the Labor Day Parade, September 5th, 2016.
I second the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Go forward.
All right.
Then deal.
I need to sign the report recommendation.
If it comes to you later, we have to sign a board order number.
Yeah, we get a number for it and
but
sign it and forward
this
it.
Afternoon.
Well, I know, but the legal made a couple changes after my signature so that I didn't actually sign the report recommendation. I was on vacation for a couple days last week.
It's summertime. Vacation.
What? Get a blue pen? Oh, we got it. I got a four now.
But can you pronounce it?
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, quarterly report, juvenile justice. And at the rate we're going today, by the time we get through with this...
Good morning.
We'll be laughing.
I was wondering if your most excellent support staff allowed Mr. Heck an extra cup of coffee this morning, or...
Did you make it?
I don't drink coffee.
No.
At all?
At all.
Wow.
Anymore.
He's pretty chatty today.
Are you serious? But he doesn't drink coffee anymore?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
I'm trying to grow up, okay?
Good morning,
Commissioner.
Just a few things from the world of juvenile justice, and I didn't really have it on my agenda, but when you spoke about the possible influx of huge amounts of money
yeah.
marijuana taxes and the public health education, that kind of thing, I would just throw out there that if it is a broader brush that through the prevention program, especially what I believe is most important, probably not even middle school, but elementary school education, prevention, that sort of thing, we would be more than happy to take on a project like that.
That's why we wanted this really broad, because with public health, lowercase letters, public health education,
right,
and treatment related to marijuana products,
right.
And that was, it can go to juvenile, jail,
right,
whatever.
And whether it's, just an anomaly that we see sometimes in numbers, I think after another 6 months or so, of data collection, I think I'll be able to say that our referrals for juveniles and marijuana are up significantly. Mm-hmm. I can say they're up significantly now in the last 3-4 months. I just don't know if that's a kind of a normal blip, or if that will be sort of a new trend. But right now we're doing a lot more with those referrals than we have, and so we could probably put some of that money to good use. We should have our new detention contract should be signed on the other end and in the mail as we speak. So we are set to go for another year. Beginning July 1, ending June 30th. Same terms. Of course, I had this at a weekly business session a couple of weeks ago. Things are going great there as far as the service goes. Still not ideal, but it is. We did appreciate the same terms of the contract. Basically, we just changed the date. And so Douglas was not asking for an increase in their daily bed rate or anything like that at this point. So that's locked down and good to go for another year. We on that, I'll throw this in just as a sort of a bug in the ear for possible future discussions with talking about our vacant facility and whether or not we will be able to do anything with kids in that facility in the future. There's a possibility of conversations with the Oregon Youth Authority. They are, and this would obviously be a board decision, you know, at a pretty high level, but they are down significantly with what they consider stabilization beds for youth who are, say they go back into the community from a youth correctional facility, and they're not maintaining very well. Right now, their option really is to go to non-secured places or revoke them back to a facility, which is very costly. So historically, there have been programs around the state operated through juvenile detention centers that get programming. We had a 30-day program in our detention center when we closed. These YCC, or Youth Correctional Youth Care Centers, can go up to 90 days, and what they're based on is stabilization for that youth, to not revoke them back to a facility, get them in, get them kind of a spin dry treatment, and then try them again in the community. And so the last update we had at the state level from the Oregon Youth Authority is that they are in dire need of more beds. The rate that they would pay would be similar to the newly increased BRS rate, which is more than we took in when we
BRS is
Behavioral Rehabilitative Services, okay, which is basically federal money that gets billed for these services. Anyway, I say all of that just to say that I did ask that we could be included in the conversation, just as a what would it look like if we were able to rent beds and provide a program, secured program, not. Oregon Youth Authority kids running around in our community. I mean, I understand that politically might not be the best move to import those types of kids in a non-secure facility. But if it could materialize in such a way that it could offset the cost of the larger detention center, or even our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week intake center, and we continued to contract in Douglas County, but we were able to offer that again, I think that would be at least worth the conversation. Mm-hmm. But so not to go too far ahead of the board.
Yeah, I would think that any program that you could devise and come up with would be well received by the citizens if that facility is being used.
Right. And so I guess the purpose of this is just, I guess, sort of to ask permission to have further conversations with OYA about that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a contract would be signed up at the board level, but I would like to have those conversations and see where Southern Region specifically is a big need for them. Whether it adds up or makes sense to the bottom line, I don't know at mm-hmm. this point. But yeah, they are willing to talk, and I'd be willing to talk to them with the blessing of the board.
That sounds good.
So that's a possibility. I'm very excited about our new position change being able to get a working supervisor on. Our hope is to have that happen by August 1st. It's open internally now, and that will be, I think that will be really good for the department and for the fidelity of the case management that we're doing and things like that. There's just, when we took on prevention and lost our administrative supervisor, that we tried that for about 6 months, and that experiment just wasn't working very well. And so I'm really excited about that and some of the increased services that we'll be able to provide once we get that question on. We just submitted through the City of Grants Pass another Justice Administration grant, or a JAG grant. We've done these every year now for I think the last three cycles, and it's not a huge amount of money. It's about $17,000 and some change, but it really does allow us to offset costs in a lot of ways. And where we have to get creative with it, though, we can't supplant anything that we've always done with these. So we always have to look at a new service if we're going to accept the money, and we write it up. Actually, the City of Grants Pass can apply for it, but they can't spend it. Josephine County Juvenile Justice can spend it, but we're not able to apply for it. So it's one of those weird federal.
Hey, partners.
Yes, exactly. And Scott Lindbergh at the city has been fantastic with this. So what we're doing, sort of in response to these increased alcohol and drug referrals that we're getting, we're doing an increased service, supervision service for them, where we're actually not just taking them to court, getting the judge to say, don't do that again, you'll get an assessment, here's your fine, and then they leave. We don't have any involvement with those kids after that. Now we're going to keep them for 5 or 6 months and try to do some active case management, get some education and do a little bit more. So that's where that new grant resource will go.
And any kind of rehab is a repetitive process over time. It can't be just a one-shot deal.
Yes. And finally, and not to speak for the sheriff, but I have been in contact with him about working collaboratively with the Sheriff's Office, Juvenile Justice, the school district, to try for the school resource officer position in Three Rivers School District, which from where we are in juvenile justice would be just fantastic. We have had since 2012 basically no response in the county high schools and middle schools for alcohol, drug, minor offenses, things like that. They're all dealt with in-house. Juvenile does not get the chance to work with that youth and do any preventative things or anything like that. Because, as you know, patrol officers are going from one hot call to another, and they just can't respond to a violation in the school. And so, as I understand it, they're applying for that, for a grant, a federal grant,
yes,
that would partly fund that. And so the task is for, and I've got our prevention coordinator on board to try to work collaboratively with all the other players to fund the rest of that position.
Hmm.
If I understand it right, it's a three-year grant for
3 years.
For about half of what it would take for a full-time deputy.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was two.
Two,
I think.
Two. And so we're going to try to get maybe 25-30% of the other half from the school district, and then we'll get to put our heads together, juvenile justice, prevention, treatment, all of that, and try to get that up to 25%.
Good idea.
And being a roving position that could respond to all of the high schools and middle schools, it would certainly make our numbers go up because we just haven't been getting those referrals in the last 4 years.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, but even more than that, the better thing is that you're actually having some kind of intervention.
Yes.
These kids that are, some of them are just starting and you stop, you don't go down there. You have that kind of hands-on kind of
stop. Yeah. I had the principal of Hidden Valley High School in the office a few weeks ago. Extremely frustrated, almost at wit's end, like, you know, what can you do, you know, reaching out, what can you do to help us? And so I went to work with the district attorney, and we were trying to think of alternative ways to deal with this. So hopefully that materializes and we can get that service back out to the county schools.
Yeah, we signed that and sent it electronically. I can't remember what day it was, but it was last week sometime.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So, great. Thank you.
So that's about it from our world.
You're doing good.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you.
Wish we could do more.
Heads above water. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Paddling like crazy.
We have Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
It says finance report and business update.
All right, yes.
Hi.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. I've got a couple of things. The first is a few weeks back we were talking about the Siskiyou Bluegrass Festival in the Illinois Valley Chamber, and we asked them to respond to some questions, to provide us more information on what they had done with the prior year's grant that. Grant that we gave them. And so they responded last Friday, June 24, sent me an email. They addressed the few questions that we had. What did you do with the $5,000? Did you increase advertising? Where did you increase it? Did you increase attendance? You know, did you bring in more revenue? So they responded to that by saying that they were up just around 100 people last year. Their attendance was up. Profits were over 5,000. Most successful to date as far as attendance is concerned. Gave us a list of where they advertised and the cost associated with that. So what I was thinking is that perhaps I could leave this with the board for your review. You could look at it, and if it satisfies the curiosity and the need to go ahead and approve that, and then we can process that. I mean, it seems like it's a good program. It seems like it's beneficial to the community. They made a good faith effort to respond to our request for additional information, and I believe this is if I recall last year's correctly enough, that they were only looking for a 2-year kind of give us a boost to help us get this festival to the next level, and so this would be the I don't anticipate them requesting the funds next year.
So I don't have any problem with granting that they're requesting. They've responded.
Yes,
it isn't. I don't have any problem with meeting their request.
Yeah, it's $5,000.
Should we move it forward to?
I would. I mean, it would be nice.
Okay.
So that way they know and they can plan
and
advertise it for the one now.
Okay.
For them.
No, you'll be chairing next week.
Yeah.
And this is a new grant, so I think we need to put it on the admin.
Yeah.
The award.
Do you want me to speak to it, or do you want me to invite, Dan Mancuso or somebody? For the
I think if you speak to it, because they'd have to come in around the valley at 9 o'clock on Wednesday.
We could ask a mandolin player to come in and give us a little demo.
Well, I think it's encouraging that they did receive it, they did respond to it.
Okay.
And that's a very, very positive step that they've done. So.
Okay.
So, couple quick little pieces here. Our grant accountant, David Matthews, seems to be assuming his responsibilities with talent and gusto and excitement. So
that's great.
Interacting with the several other departments, not just public health, although our focus right now is public health and make sure that they're fine and good. But and as time goes on, then we can branch out and assist the other departments as needed. So that seems to be working out very well. The travel policy, you may have noted that I sent out a request for feedback. Yes.
On the grant situation.
Yes.
Is this position, is he going to become or is he going to become the initiator of applications, or is he only the collator of?
Correct. Just the collator. Right now, we're not making him a grant writer. We're not asking him to do grant writing. What we basically did is took the grant reporting responsibilities from public health,
right,
and brought them over to the finance department, it benefits that individual in that they have support from other finance-oriented minds, rather than being a standalone person there in public health. So it benefits the position in that they have support from other folks, and hopefully I anticipate that public health grant accounting in and of itself is not going to take 100% of this individual's time. And so that at some point within the next month or two, as he gets his feet under him and gets public health in order, that we'll be able to assume some responsibility for other programs that need help, such as, you know, single-purpose, single-person programs like emergency management, mm-hmm. those kind of things. So we can work those in. And right now it's just grant reporting, the financial side of the grant, to make sure that they, mm-hmm. not grant writing or searching for new grants or, you know, keeping up on that. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the original intent.
In the emergency management situation, so she is going to be responsible to initiate or observe, say, oh, this is a possibility of a grant that we could apply for.
Sure.
They would apply for it, and the processing all would be his job.
Well,
or the coordinating of the results.
The financial reporting piece of it. So if she needs quarterly reports or needs a budget, for example, a pro tem budget of to submit with the grant, he can provide that kind of information. Yes.
That's good. I mean, because there's a lot of different opportunities for grants mm-hmm. that are out there. That's
right.
Like we've reported, Sarah is very keen on these grant things. Mm-hmm. Has raised that whole application process up tenfold at least.
And right now, that's basically where things lie, is that the program director or someone who works with the program is responsible for searching out, seeking mm-hmm. out grants, and finding them and applying for them. We'll provide, and we have been all along, really providing support and to assist in that process, but we have not been doing the grant searching and grant applications.
The Fair Grants have taken an aggressive step for learning how to write grants, too.
Yes.
So they've got some people now involved in it on the board level that are doing it, but the tracking of it, that can wear you out.
That's where we can where we can help.
Okay, good.
Travel policy, so I'm working on that to get that updated. And then last but not least, I plan on a 2-week vacation end of July, beginning of August.
You just had one.
Well, that was earlier. 2-week vacation. Go down to California, visit my family. So.
I heard a couple of rumors yesterday that there was, let's say it, Simon had said that he was going to reimburse one of the businesses on one of the road closures out of economic development funds. And the other one was that he actually is having some of the department heads signing a letter to and has made a commitment in regards to hiring a PR person. Do you know anything about that? Paid for out of economic development funds?
Right. The first one, I haven't heard anything about reimbursing any businesses.
We don't do
for.
That. Governments don't do that.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so for road closures. So that's brand new to me. As far as the public relations is concerned, I've had conversations with Simon regarding the need for public relations and the need to try to get out more positive. And I think that was reflected actually in the individual we talked with, the board hired someone from Illinois Valley to try
to. We had that person that was.
But nothing ever happened.
Well, and the thing is that we had to provide information to her to
write
it. I talked to her a couple of times, and she says, "We have to provide the information to me. You know, you have to give me all the." And I'm going, if I have to do that, I might as well write the doggone first thing myself. It was kind of like she. In other words, you need someone who has knowledge of and their finger on the pulse of what we're doing so as to be able to write it. Because when she started saying, well, you need to tell me the who, what, the where, when, the why, you need to, you know, give me all this information, I'm going, mean, I used to write press releases for a federal agency. I know how to do them. So if I'm going to do that, I might as well write it.
Oh, okay.
I'll second that motion.
Yeah.
So we have had, I've had discussions with Simon regarding the need to have a more positive effort, maybe a more coordinated or a more...
What was that? No, what was that?
Coordinated.
Coordinated? Was it? Did you say coordinated?
Coordinated, yes. Effort, and perhaps getting the managers together to establish an internal group, maybe not everybody, but just an internal group to monthly, I mean, we have a monthly management. So my suggestion was, as part of our monthly managers meeting, that we would kick around ideas of what has happened during the last month or whatever, you know, whatever is newsworthy or positive or promotional, to put those all together. If we had a person like the Illinois Valley person, or actually someone had contacted Commissioner Hare about doing promotional stuff, if we had somebody like that, then we could give them the information, you know, whatever the 10 top things that the managers feel are noteworthy, newsworthy, and then that individual, whoever it is, could then flesh it out, you know, find out, get more of the details, whatever it makes up of, whether it's a news release or whether it's something we put on our county Facebook page or whether it's something that we, I don't know, advertise on the radio, whatever, the different ways of getting that info, or maybe even a presentation at a board meeting. Whatever we need to do in order to get out a more positive.
We've had this conversation a lot,
mm-hmm.
And at one point I asked forestry. I said, okay, let's start with one that's a positive. So I started
mm-hmm.
with forestry
mm-hmm.
and asked forestry department to write one, and they did. And gave it to me, and Simon contacted him and said, don't print it. So I'm really miffed as to what point he's trying to make, because this was a 700-word guest editorial that I had the forestry manager write about our forestry program.
I don't know about that.
And then he contacted him and said, don't do it. Even though he had already written it, I had a copy.
Hmm.
And so I don't know. I don't know. I get a little bit perturbed when I've tried to do this. I even submitted one to the Courier, and they refused to print it. And it wasn't even a controversial topic. It had to do about the county and the economic status of the city and that kind of thing.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Okay. I don't know.
They refused to print it.
One positive step.
You know why they refused to print it? Because it wasn't a story that they had originated with them or that they had printed or an article.
Well, I mean, the Chamber's done a good job.
The Chamber's done a great job of publishing.
Yeah,
profile.
Maybe that would be another avenue.
Yeah.
And is, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's
profiles.
Huge.
Oh, man. And I know that I did, after the last one came out, I had a profile of Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Brandis,
was,
yeah.
Very good.
I think that's the fourth one. Is that the fourth one they run?
So I was saying, ask Robert, I said, is there some way that you could encapsulate this and develop some sort of a put it on our web page, or, you know, this
mm-hmm.
this is
sure.
what, on a regular basis kind of thing. He said, yeah, I'd probably do that. And so I don't know what's happening.
Well, the Chamber would allow us to even take those articles, you know, their newsletter, the
yeah.
piece that belongs or that pertains to the county, and just reproduce it. And put it on
site. I don't think that's. Have you talked to them? Do we ask them that, you know?
No, I think Wendy might have put it on the.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I think she did.
I think she did.
I think she's put them on.
Good. Yeah, Colleen contacted me last week, I think, and asked for some details.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be famous.
Uh-huh. You're next. That's great. Finance person.
Send a copy.
Hey, you've got all your wall of awards up there. That's great.
We did.
I think it looks great.
One of the downsides of this whole thing is that if I am Robert or if I am Arthur or whomever, and I'm asked to produce something, and you go through that hassle of producing something, and then it gets deep sick or whatever, you lose the incentive of even thinking about
why try.
Well, that's why yep. Because we talked about it right here in a meeting, and I said, okay, I will do one. I will start talking to the people to have the departments to get. So I did, and then he intercepted it and told, I can't think of his name. Vic
Harris, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
think we're not going to do this. It's like, that's what you asked me to do.
Yeah, I don't understand that part of it, and I hadn't heard that part of it. But I don't mean to circumvent anyone, but my feeling is that we, in order to make this, we have to institutionalize that process. At least in my way of thinking, that we need to institutionalize that process and make it more of a ongoing, with the employees, because the reality is, and not to, minimize anybody's contributions, but if the board changes or the commissioners change, and then there's other priorities, especially if you're a new person coming in, you've got your other issues that your campaign promises or whatever you're trying to deal with and trying to implement, which is great and is normal part of the whole process. But if we can institutionalize a avenue where we can get some positive, on a continuous basis, positive stories about what the county is accomplishing, the things that are happening that are to the benefit of the citizens, then I think that's a good process and a good program and something that we need to. I talked with Diane Hoover and said, let's, in my way of thinking, I think we need to chat with the managers, get them to agree that this is something that they all want to put in for, and then and take it from there. And talking with Simon about that too. So, and then with him, and then just to bring it back to what you had said, the original question is that I believe someone, although I don't know who it is, had contacted him, some kind of a PR individual had contacted him and said, let's, a voluntary basis or paid, I don't know.
The person that we had that was supposed to write these articles, she writes well, but when I talked to her for the first time, she says, well, you're going to have to give me all that information.
Right.
It's like, if I had to write it all up and give it to you?
Well, I thought
what the whole idea was to say, okay, we'd like to have an article about and tell her the topic and the mm-hmm. contacts and that she would call him and interview him and, write an article.
That's the way I
And when she said, well, I need you to have you send me this and this and this, and I'm going, wait a minute. The whole point of having someone do that is so I don't have to do all that calling and writing.
And since we have a monthly manager's meeting in any, just as a normal course of events, what I suggested was that the first 10 minutes we have this PR person, we go around, we throw out ideas, the PR person writes down the whole thing, 15 ideas or whatever it is, and then glean the top five or whatever, sounds the best. And then that PR person would follow up with the appropriate program and say, let's get the details, the who, what, where, when, why, and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. But that would be the PR person who does that. Because we need somebody who takes the responsibility to make that happen. And volunteers... Well,
Julie could do that.
Julie used to do it in Curry County.
Well, that's... Yeah, why not?
She used to do it in Curry County, and she said that to me. She said that to me yesterday. She says, I used to write the newsletters for the county, and she says, I used to do all the press stuff for that.
Why not? Community development. But that might be an appropriate thing. Or it may be an appropriate thing 3 months from now. give her time.
Yeah. She said you have 30 days.
Yeah, to get her feet underneath. That's, I like that thought. Because in my mind, somebody has to be tasked with that responsibility. Mm-hmm. If it's just here, you know, do it when you can get around to it, then...
Somebody who has ability needs to be tasked on a regular basis to do this kind of work.
Yeah, I think so. And whether it's internal, which would be great, or external, which, you know, I think is money well spent, to get that message out there that, hey, we're doing positive things. The county is providing services that the citizens need and want. So, and we're doing it in an efficient, effective, positive way. So that, I think that's a good message to get out there. But, of course, it requires the boards.
But we'll see what happens. Yeah. Okay. Anything else for us?
So I think that was everything for me.
I went to this, I can do that in the Madison Commissioners. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Arthur, we'll need a copy of the
Bluegrass?
Yes.
Yes, I've got it here. I'll
thank
give
you.
It to you.
Matters from commissioners.
Go ahead.
Anything?
Nothing.
Liaison? Update?
No.
No. I went to the So Ready meeting last night, the annual meeting over in Ashland. It was very nice. And trying to think of the award that went to a Grand Theft Company. First call, I think it was First Call Resolution talked last night. One of the speakers. And if I had my agenda in front of me, I'd make notes. But anyway, you know, they had a tribute to Ron Fox because he's retired now. And they had a silent auction. And I was hoping I'd be able to bring back a silent auction item so we could raffle it and raise money for the county. Because they had some really nice ones. You know, some of those nice prizes would have raised some good money on a raffle. Because you can't keep them. But anyway, I didn't win anything. So, but it was a nice evening. And the Ashland Hills Inn, and the food was really good. It was. You know, lots of times banquet food is...
Yeah, banquet food.
Yeah, banquet food, but it was very good. And I sat at a table. We had one of the people that does the marketing on the EDGE program sat next to me. And
that is
a great program.
Excellent program. Excellent.
Yeah. And this month, Dutch Brothers is on the front of their business promotion magazine. So that's on there. And like Carrie Count and Lowell Gibson and... David Reeves, Susan C. Ryder, quite a group.
That's good.
At our table. So I don't know. There's probably maybe a couple hundred people there.
Hmm.
It was very well attended. So all the good things they're doing, and I think they're going to be doing even some greater things this year. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. I have nothing else.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. It is 10:27, and we are adjourned.